Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Radio.com and The Score welcome Walk Off the Earth to the Budweiser Concert Series, Saturday, September 7th at Gallagher Way next to Wrigley Field.
This is a mashup, a bunch of smash hit songs for Rich Girl, but it's gone too far because you know it don't matter.
The Earth, September 7th, Gallagher Way. Tickets on sale at gallagherway.com.
It all starts with just one thing. June is World Oceans Month. If you're planning a trip to the beach, be sure to use sunscreen that is labeled reef-friendly to benefit marine wildlife. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Over 15 women are diagnosed with breast cancer in Chicago every day. Join Komen Chicago for the 22nd annual Mother's Day Race for the Cure 5K Walk Run at Montrose Harbor. We're in a race with time against breast cancer, and your participation will help us cross the finish line as we strive to reduce breast cancer by 50% by 2026. Get a team together to walk or run this 5K along beautiful Lake Michigan. Register today at KomenChicago.org/race to make a difference.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He won't game! He gets better and better! He
better and better!
He gets
better
and better!
He
gets better! NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Kelly Krull in for Mike Mulligan today. And we are pleased to bring in Mike Florio, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how are you today?
Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well for late June. And obviously, there's not a whole lot going on in NFL camps with everybody away for their mini breaks before training camp starts and kicks in next month. But there is a lot of discussion, Mike, over NFL replay. And that has been sparked by Rich Eisen writing a guest column for Peter King on his Football Morning in America, and he outlined some of the problems that are anticipated based on the explanation they got from Al Riveron about replay and the way that it could be contradictory with calls. What do you make of the discussion going on around the league about replay, and how bad could this get?
Well, this could get really bad. I mean, I think the league needed to do something to prevent another scenario like what we saw in the NFC Championship game, where there's a horrendous missed call and there's no mechanism for fixing it. And the NFL, after I think the competition committee went a couple of months of believing that it could get by with doing nothing and just accept it as a 50-year event and it's never going to happen again, at least not in our lifetime, so who cares? Let's just deal with the rules as they are. They overreacted at the behest of the coaches and the owners, and now we have a mechanism in place that is going to result in micromanagement of pass interference calls and non-calls with something far more than that clear and obvious. And those are supposed to be the key words, clear and obvious. The clear and obvious early hit by Nicole Roby Coleman on Tommy Lee Lewis in the NFC Championship game. Now we are picking through frame by frame a possible instance of pass interference in Super Bowl 53. I don't think it's clear and obvious. Stephon Gilmore significantly hindered Brandon Cooks on a play that Al Riveron says would have been overturned for a finding of pass interference. There was a play from a Chargers-Chiefs game in the regular season.
In week 15.
Where I don't think it's clear and obvious. The key is, what is clear and obvious, and how is the NFL going to make this work in real time and not excessively delay the game and also result in too many plays, too many rulings being overturned based upon replay review?
Mike, is there anything clear and obvious, though, about certain calls throughout a game? I mean, isn't this more the same? Nothing is as clear-cut as everybody wants it to be. Is this improvement, or is this taking a step back?
Well, here's the problem. Most of the purposes for replay review. Most of the plays where it's available, it's based on something objective. Did a guy get 2 feet down? Did the ball come out before the knee hit the ground? We can all see that. There's no disputing it. Now we're taking something subjective. Is it clear and obvious that the defensive player significantly hindered the receiver? What does that mean? And what does it take to be clear and obvious? And you're going to have 17 rather, different replay officials who have to make the decision in real time with a full speed replay, no frame by frame, whether to activate automatic review in those moments of the game where automatic review is available. And then you're going to have Al River on pour over it with a fine tooth comb. You know, I hate to say it, it sounds harsh, but I think we've seen enough of a body of work from Al Riveron that we can fairly conclude that he has some struggles when the time comes to try to properly apply the replay rules. And I think over the next couple of months, somebody at the league office, preferably the commissioner, needs to make sure Al Riveron understands that this information he's putting out there is not the way it should be. It should only be in the most egregious, obvious cases where pass interference will be called by replay review if it wasn't called on the field and will be overturned if it was called on the field and it shouldn't have been. This should be there only for the kind of emergency action that we needed in the NFC Championship game and not as a way to open a new box of replay review function for all sorts of potential infractions where it's a lot closer than what it was in that Rams-Saints game.
Mike, you brought up the NFC Championship game. I just saw a little blip from something you had done earlier in the week. I thought it was cute, the Zion Williamson passing of the torch from Drew Brees. But what is the latest with Drew Brees and the Saints and that relationship moving forward?
Well, the Saints have said recently that Drew Brees is on a year-to-year arrangement. And I think that's smart. He turned 40. Not every guy is going to play at a high level past his 40th birthday. We're deluded into thinking that any of the quarterbacks who want to do it will automatically be able to do it because Tom Brady's figured out how to crack that code on Father Time. And I think we saw some indication last year, somewhere between week 6 and week 10, is when there's the thought that maybe Brees started to fall off a little bit physically. And I think it's a real concern for the team this year. If Brees, and back to the play in the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game. Mecole Roby-Coleman was on the wrong side of the field. He saw Tommy Lee Lewis uncovered on what would be the right sideline if you're facing it from the Saints' perspective. Well, Drew Brees, 3-4 years ago, would have seen Tommy Lee Lewis more quickly, would have gotten the ball more quickly, and he would have walked into the end zone before Mecole Roby-Coleman could have closed that gap. And those are just little indications that maybe Drew Brees isn't the guy that he used to be, and I think it's going to be a challenge this year for the Saints to have the kind of success we've seen the last 2 seasons.
Mike, tickets for NFL London games at Wembley Stadium go on sale within minutes, I think, at the top of the hour. For the Bears game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, they go on sale, I think, on Thursday. Where this is leading, obviously, will be a further look at interest in NFL football in London. Will there be as much interest as in past years? Do you think this will lead to a discussion that happens seemingly annually about whether or not an NFL team could survive in London?
I think that the league likes to dangle that carrot of the possibility of the team relocating to London. Every once in a while, somebody says something about, ooh, maybe a Super Bowl played in London. And I think this is all aimed at just capturing the imagination and retaining the imagination of the folks in London who like football and who are getting that, 4 games a year as it currently stands. I think the end result is that there would be 6 to 8 games every year in London. It wouldn't be a home team per se. It would be a rotating slate like what we're now seeing. I just think there are too many practical impediments to putting a team in London, from the travel time to the time away from home when you're setting up at your East Coast base for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, tax rates, exchange rates. Will the NFLPA agree to relocate one of the businesses to another country? Just too many issues, too many problems. I know the NFL likes the idea of maximizing that market and teasing them, but the possibility of a team moving there may help. But I think, it's unless they bring back the Concorde, and even then, I don't think it would happen. But at a minimum, you're going to have that supersonic flight to get back and forth across the Atlantic Ocean. But again, I doubt that it would happen even if that would return.
You kind of make me think of the Rays and the thought in baseball this week of them trying to split a season with Montreal and part of their season down in Florida. It's funny. But, Mike, One more thing on the Bears. I think you did it with Chris Sims. The playoff game and the way it ended, and Matt Nagy showing that clip often. What is your takeaway with using that as motivation, but toeing the line as also needing to move forward to next season?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand and appreciate the reminder of that feeling the players have when they lost that game. I don't know how many times you need to be reminded of it to understand, yes, that's how it feels, and yes, we don't want to feel that way again. I think you can get desensitized to the feeling if you see it too much. Mm-hmm. And I'll make a point that Jeff Fisher made on NFL Network late last week. It puts even more pressure on whoever the kicker is going to be. I mean, can you imagine that first game of the season, Thursday night, NBC, whoever is the kicker, what they're going to have to deal with, what they're going to have to worry about. And I know that kickers are expected to thrive in those settings, but I can't think of another time where a kicker had more pressure on him going into a season than whoever the Bears kicker is going to be will have. And constantly watching the closing moments of that playoff game is not going to make it any less pressure. It's only going to make it more.
Mike, not a big week around the league, but a big week in Kansas City. The NFL plans to meet with Tyreek Hill tomorrow, according to reports, which would be, I think, it's an interesting move because obviously this was going to play out and the league was sort of, you weren't sure what direction this was going to go. What do you expect to happen and where is this all headed?
Well, I think the key for me was the report from 810 WHB that multiple interviews are planned. I've reviewed the personal conduct policy very carefully. I can see at least two situations, maybe a third, where he could be found in violation and could be suspended independently for the different actions. You can be suspended without violence. Jimmy Smith, the Ravens cornerback, was suspended 4 games last year for making threats and engaging in emotional abuse against the mother of his child. So I think Tyreek Hill, at a minimum, is going to be suspended for what he said to Crystal Espinal. It's his voice on the recording saying, you need to be terrified of me too. There are other grounds he could be suspended for if they find he engaged in excessive discipline of his son, if they find him responsible for the creation of an atmosphere that his son was actually removed from the home, that kind of hazard, that kind of danger existed, that Hill is responsible for that. If they come to that conclusion, that's another basis. And hovering over all of this is what he admitted to doing in December of 2014, choking and beating then-pregnant Crystal Espinal. He'd never been suspended by the NFL for that. It all happened before he got to the NFL. But that's out there, and that's going to make, I think, the NFL take a much dimmer view of him. And I'd be shocked if he's not suspended. In my mind, the only question is how many games he's going to miss.
Mike, before we let you go, did Aaron Rodgers find an unlikely ally in Brett Favre, who told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel over the weekend that new coach Matt LaFleur needs to kind of give him some leeway at the line of scrimmage? And that's been the ongoing offseason conversation in Green Bay. But when Brett Favre weighs in, people notice.
Well, they notice, and that's right. It's advantage Aaron Rodgers. And look, Aaron Rodgers' contract is what gives him the ultimate advantage. Because what are they going to do? If he decides he's not going to follow what he's told in the huddle, and this understanding they're going to call two plays, and there's a series of criteria he should look at to decide which play he should ultimately go with the line of scrimmage. If he goes off the board and he consistently does it, are they going to cut him? I mean, he holds all the power here. The fact that this is public, I know people around the league who think that this is Aaron Rodgers' way of sticking it to Mark Murphy for, just the way the team has been handled over the past several years, and Aaron Rodgers didn't get any input into the hiring of Matt LaFleur. He's got the power. He's making the money. And he's ultimately going to be able to do whatever he wants to do. He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, a team that has no owner, a team where he is the most visible and most highly compensated member of the organization. And, they need to work this out in a way that makes it look like everyone's on the same page. The bottom line, though, is I think Aaron Rodgers can do whatever he wants to do.
Great stuff, Mike. Talk to you next week.
Thanks,
Mike. All right. Take care, everybody.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.com. Kelly Kroll in for Mike Mulligan today. Mulley and Haw, and you can join the Scores. Lawrence Holmes today as he hosts Wilson Contreras, the man who was involved in a little controversy last night, and Albert Almora Jr. at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley for the first luncheon series of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series presented by TimberTech and Xfinity. Tickets are sold out, but make sure you're tuned in to listen to Lawrence's conversation with Wilson and Almora today at noon right here, 670 The Score, or on the radio.com app. When we come back, Transition with Dan and Connor, Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Dan Bernstein here for the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Right now, you are listening to Mully and Haw, but we've got Transition coming up at 9.
And Joe Sheehan at 10. We'll get baseball-y with him. We'll see how Lucas Giolito pitched. And Adbert Alzule is going to make his first start in the major leagues.
Bernstein and McKnight starting at 9 on 670 The Score.
Summer means picnics, parties, and getting together. Are you ready? Walgreens is, and we're just minutes away with great deals on all your summer essentials, including 12-pack soft drinks like Coke and Pepsi, 3 for $9.99, limit 3. And 24-pack Dasani water, buy one, get one free, limit 4. With great prices and easy in, easy out, your summer starts here. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Offers valid with card while supplies last. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey golfers, golf pro Kyle Kunash here. When you play at Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, you're bound to hear some of the game's signature sounds on our beautiful courses. Like this. And this. Hopefully not too much of this.
Four.
But definitely this. If a round on the Brute or the Highlands sounds good to you, book your tee time today at GrandGenevaGolf.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Theo Epstein, the Cubs president. Let's start with Addison Russell.
If Addison continues on the path that he has just started and puts in the hard work and continues on the long process of self-improvement and reformation and rehabilitation and continues to grow and improve the relationships in his life, many years from now we're looking back and we say that he's truly a changed man and that a lot of good has come from this. You know, I think when we reach that point, I bet you that most of the people booing will think that he deserves a little bit different reception and then maybe some recognition for what he's done. But that's not appropriate now. That's not the stage that we're at now. He's still at the beginning of this process.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Radio.com and The Score welcome Walk Off the Earth to the Budweiser Concert Series, Saturday, September 7th at Gallagher Way next to Wrigley Field.
This is a mashup, a bunch of smash hit songs from Rich Girl, but it's gone too far because you know it don't.
Walk Off the Earth, September 7th, Gallagher Way. Tickets on sale at GallagherWay.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Talking with Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager.
I love our versatility. I think Joe does a great job of using it. I think some teams might be scared to bounce a star player like Bryant around the diamond. And obviously we've done that in the past with Javi. You know, we're not doing that now with him, but we have. You know, Jason and Albert can move around the outfield and Bodie can move around. And I think Joe takes advantage of that in a great way. And it really gives us a lot of options. And a guy like Vic, you know, Vic can play first well. Obviously he can catch. I do feel like with Wilson, the toll that catching takes on him, I think we do try to minimize putting him out there. When he's off, and hopefully he's off and he can rest his legs. In general, I think it's a huge plus and a huge part of why we're good.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
John Paxson, the bounce of the ping pong ball. You end up 7th.
Well, it's disappointing. You can accept it for a minute or two, but then you got to move on. Because everybody who walks in that building and has a stake in it hopes for some luck. New Orleans and Memphis are the two teams that walked out of there better than they were before, you know, when they walked in.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
The Score, Behind the Headlines, a new podcast series from The Score's Julie DeCaro and executive producer Tony Gill. Season 1 reexamines the murder of James Jordan after 20 years of shocking revelations.
You have to understand about where it happened.
The Robeson County Sheriff's Office gets caught up in the federal corruption probe. 22 officers were charged with perjury all the way up to drug trafficking.
The Score, Behind the Headlines, the murder of James Jordan. Download the latest episode now on 670thescore.com or radio.com. Sports.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. June is World Oceans Month. Remember to always cut up plastic six-pack rings. Better yet, reduce your use of disposable plastic so it doesn't end up in our ocean. If you're planning a trip to the beach, make sure you use sunscreen that's labeled reef-friendly or reef-safe. All of these steps will help protect marine wildlife and keep our oceans beautiful. It all starts